الله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي نورا قلوب العارفين بنور معرفته وأثبت فؤاد أنبيائه وأوليائه بقصص الأنبياء والمرسلين وأكمل إيمان المسلمين والمؤمنين بولاية علي أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام. والصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على أفضل الموجودات العبد المؤيد والرسول المسدد المصطفى الأمجد المحمود الأحمد أعني أبا القاسم محمد. وعلى روحه ونفسه وصهره ووسيه سيد الأتقياء والأصفياء مولى الموالي إمام المتقين علي بن أبي طالب. وعلى أوصيائه لسيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: إن الحسين مصباح الهدى وسفينة النجاة. صلى الله عليه وسلم. As I had promised yesterday that I would speak on Hazrat Zainab, but the Jamaat has said that because some people do take tonight as a night of the martyrdom of Imam Ali ibn Musa radha alayhi salatu wasalam, so we should talk about his life and his masaib as well. So inshallah, my promise, I'll inshallah try and fulfill that tomorrow about Hazrat Zainab. Tonight inshallah about the 8th Imam. Before I go on any further to talk about the 8th Imam alayhi salam, I should mention a few things that eventually, probably from the topic that I have chosen, some people have asked some questions. I had said in one of the majalis that Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam is superior than all the Anbiya except the Holy Prophet. And then I'd given some references from a hadith book, Al-Manaqib, Ibn Shahrashub, Peshawar Nights, Al-Anwar al-Nu'maniyah, and other books. In Imam al-Baydawi's tafsir, great alim of Al-Sunnah, his name is Baydawi. He has a commentary on Quran. When discussing the verse of Mubahala, Surah Al-Imran, verse number 67, when he discusses that verse, explaining that verse, he says, this verse is enough for the Rafida, meaning the Shias, plural of Rafidi, he calls the Shias, meaning the ones who have gone off the path. He says, this verse is enough for the Rafida to prove that Ali is superior than all the Anbiya because he has been called Nafs of the Holy Prophet. The Holy Prophet did not take anyone but Ali as his nafs. Anfusana wa anfusakum. You know, like wa abnana wa abnakum wa nisana wa nisakum, anfusana wa anfusakum. So nafs of the Holy Prophet is Ali. Someone who is nafs of the Holy Prophet, just like the Holy Prophet is superior than all the other prophets, then it is enough for the Rafida to use this verse to say that Ali is also superior than all the other prophets. This is Imam Baydawi. Just one question that I wanted to probably mention from Ahl Sunnah's books. This is the reference that I have now because the question was asked just now. Otherwise I can give you other references from Sunni books. Just one for the moment. The other question, just quickly touching it. Some people say that did Imam Hussain alayhi salam know that he was going to be killed in Karbala or didn't he? He did know that. Then they say if he did, then it is committing suicide going to Karbala. It is not. For reference, refer to the books of Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Mahdi Langroodi, Ayatollah Sheikh Lutfullah Safi, and many others who have written an answer to Shaheed-e-Javid. Some 20 years ago in Iran, in Isfahan, a person wrote a book called Shaheed-e-Javid, and in that he said that Imam Hussain didn't know that he was going to be killed in Karbala. Otherwise he would have been committing suicide. Then many of the Ayatollahs wrote answers for that book. Many people as well, many ulama, many of the Ayatollahs as well. These two Ayatollahs, those who are still alive, Ayatollah Safi and Ayatollah Langroodi, their books became one of the best books in answering that Imam Hussain alayhi salam did know that he was going to be killed in Karbala. And there are so many traditions on it in Usul al-Kafi and other books. Allama Tabatabai has also written a short article, not a whole book on it, but an article on Ilme Imamat, the knowledge of the A'imma, the Imams. So there are many, many books you can refer to. As probably I'll try and discuss it in probably one of the oncoming nights if you still needed it to me. Needed me to actually discuss it. Otherwise, there are many, many books on it that it is not committing suicide. Simple reason is that if the Imam alayhi salam knows, just like me and you, a common person would know, that there is a person standing outside who's going to kill me, it is wajib upon me to save myself. If the Imam knows it the same way that I know it, it is wajib upon the Imam as well to save himself. But if he knows something through his knowledge of Imamat, ilm Imamat, ilm ghayb, special knowledge, then it is upon him. Then he has a choice of either using that knowledge. There is a chapter in Usul al-Kafi, Kitabul Hujjah, that Imam alayhi salam has ikhtiyar, he has a choice. Many of the Imam alayhi salam, they knew, inshallah we'll read as well for Imam Rida, when they were drinking the poison or taking the poison in the food or dates or grapes, whatever, they said to the enemy, they do not give it to me, I know it's poison. The Imam alayhi salam, for example, when he knows it through his ilmi imamat, then he doesn't use it. For example, many times you would find cars in the offices and it says on it, for official use only. That knowledge of the Imam alayhi salam is for official use only. He has the choice of motum ikhtiyariyun. They choose their death. They know the time of their death. As Imam Ali alayhi salam informed about his death before his time, even his murderer, he spoke to him and said that you're going to kill me. He said, why don't you kill me? He said, there is no qasas before crime. There is no punishment before crime. You haven't committed the crime yet. I'm warning you, beware of it. Do not kill me. He cried before killing the Imam alayhi salam that he's going to be committing a sin. But then he still did it because of many reasons. As Qutan, the woman who had actually encouraged him to do so, had asked for the mahar of 5,000, for example, gold coins and the head of Imam alayhi salam and different things. So he was in love with her, just for the sake of a woman, he killed Imam Ali al-Islam. Just like the killer of Nabi Yahya, killed him for the sake of a zaniya, a woman who was only a prostitute. Imam Hussain al-Islam has said this so many times in his sermons. He informed his people before going to Karbala, I'll be killed in this journey. There are many sermons on it, many traditions. The Imams have informed. Inshallah, tonight, in the oncoming session, probably I'll mention the details of the martyrdom of Imam Rida alayhi salam, where he also informs about his own death to Khaja Basal Tahiravi, Allama Majlisi in Jala'ul Uyun, Haqqul Yaqeen, Biharul Anwar, and many other books, Mir'atul Uqul as well, has talked about these things and discussed them and mentioned the traditions of the Aimma, that they knew the time of their death. So it is something that we Shias believe. For more videos, probably if people are confused, I'll do a majlis on it. But at the moment, I think this is sufficient. Say aloud, salawat, everyone. Tonight, an imam who is known to be Gharibul Ghuraba. One of the titles we use for him is Sultanul Arabi wal Ajam. All of our imams who have been buried away from Medina, it was against their choice. They all loved Medina, they wanted to stay there. And they always showed their passion and their love for the town of their great-grandfather, the Holy Prophet. Always. In Arabic, a gharib is someone, unlike Urdu and probably other languages, probably Gujarati as well. A gharib is a person who has less money, yes? But in Arabic, a person who lives away from his home, who misses his home, who is away from his hometown, is called gharib. Like in Urdu, we sometimes use gharibul watan. In Arabic, whenever you use the word gharib, this is what it means. A poor person is faqir, or miskin as well. But miskin huwa aswa uhalan, the tradition say. That a person who is miskin has a very bad condition. Now, hence when the tradition say that a person should be faqir, to deserve homes or zakat or sadaqah, he doesn't have to be the Urdu faqir, meaning begging in the street. He has to be faqir in the sense that he has no expense for the whole year. That's called a faqir. Unlike in Urdu we call a faqir the one who is begging. So, same terminologies have been used in different languages, but the meaning is different. You cannot apply the same meaning that applies in Urdu, whenever you read it, that it applies to the Arabic or Farsi. It doesn't. Many times I've seen it doesn't apply. Anyhow, just let me give you another example. For example, in Urdu, Morcha is, for example, army barrack. And in Farsi, it means an ant. Same word, but two different meanings. So you'll find these words in Arabic, but they don't have the same meaning as the Urdu meaning. Now, gharib is a person who is away from home. Imam Raza is called gharibul ghuraba, meaning the gharib of all the gharibs. The imams who are buried away from Medina, they say the furthest away who is buried from Medina is Imam Raza. That's why it's called gharibul ghuraba. Number one, and secondly, they say that he feels it as well, that I am lonely. You know, lonely and a person who is away from home. How? Because with all the other imams, there are other people buried. With the Holy Prophet, his daughter, with Imam Hassan, his other imams, Imam Hassan al-Abedin, Imam Muhammad Baqir, Imam Jafar Sadr, these are imams buried with him. With Imam Musa Kazim, Imam Muhammad Taqi is buried. With Imam Ali Naqi, Imam Hassan Askari is buried. With Imam Hussein, Ganja Shuhada, Janab Ali Akbar, and all of these other Shuhada are buried with him. With Imam Ali alayhi salam, Hazrat Adam, Hazrat Nuh, and other Anbiya in Wadi Salam, many of the Anbiya, like Hud, Saleh, some tradition says some 35,000 Anbiya are buried in Najaf. But in the town of Mashhad, which is later on called Mashhad, it was called Tus originally. The Imam is lonely all by himself. There are no family members with him. That's why he's called Gharibul Ghuraba. For two reasons. One, he's lonely, and secondly, he is the furthest away from Medina. Now that we've said that the original name for Mashhad was Tus, it was called in Arabic Mashhadur Rida, the place of martyrdom, the place of Shahadat of Imam Rida, Mashhadur Rida. Because it was an Arabic terminology, the Iranians, it was new for them, so they started saying Mashhad. And each time they said Mashhad, it meant Mashhadur Rida, or the place in Tus. Hence, the word Tus finished and Mashhad took its place. Just like Yathrib became Madinatul Nabi, and then Nabi was dropped and just Medina. Each time you say Medina in Arabic, Medina is every town. When you say town or city, that is Medina. But when the Arabs say Medina, they only mean Madinatul Nabi, the town of the Holy Prophet. So sometimes certain words take place of the other words. Now, this town that Imam Rida alayhi salam went to, Mamun, who was young, and according to Shaykh Mutahari, he says, the most learned enemy of the Holy Prophet. The most wise, intelligent, and educated enemy of the Holy of the Aim alayhi salam. The Holy Progeny, the Ahlul Bayt. Who is? Ma'mun al-Rashid. His name was Abdullah Ma'mun. His father, Harun al-Rashid, the murderer of the seventh Imam, he had two sons. The older one was Ma'mun, younger one was Amin. Amin was a fool, a very simple person who had not much sense about the things. Harun wanted to give his khilafat or the kingdom to his son, Abdullah Ma'mun. But because Amin's mother was more beloved to him, so therefore, she made Harun al-Rashid divide the government in two parts and give half to Amin and half to Ma'mun. So Ma'mun got Iran and southern Russia, Afghanistan, all of these places, and Amin had actually got Iraq, Syria, Palestine, you know, Palestine, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, all of these countries, and some parts of northern Africa. This was due to the mother of Amin. When he divided this government in two parts, because Ma'mun was more conniving and devious, cunning, he wanted to take the other part away from his brother, Amin. Amin had no sense whatsoever. He didn't know how to run the government. His wazir was running the government for him. He was going to lose it anyway because he wasn't intelligent enough. So it went on that Ma'mun killed his own brother Amin and took the whole of the government. He knew that there is one big problem for him. That is in the shape of Imam Ali ibn Musa radha alayhi salatu wasalam. Who lived in Medina, and because the people were very close to the Imam alayhi salam, they loved him. He wanted the Imam to be close to himself, so he could keep an eye on the Imam alayhi salam. He could watch him and not let him do anything against him. Because he feared that if Imam alayhi salam had lived in Medina, he would make a revolution against Ma'mun. But look at the intelligence of Ma'mun. He orders his people, he says, bring the eighth Imam of the Shias, of the Rafida, to where I am, Khurasan. That is a big province. Because I want to keep him under my watch, close watch. But remember one thing, do not bring him from the Shia areas, because wherever he passes by, the Shias are already in love with them, with the Ahlul Bayt, and each time they see him, they will love him even more. Even though Ma'mun had not seen Imam Rida alayhi salam, but he knew that these people are very attractive, their personalities are very important. If a person sees them, even if he doesn't believe in them, he will start believing in them. He said, secondly, even from the Sunni areas that you're bringing him in, keep him in a sedan, in an ammari, that was made for the camels, for the ladies, to cover them. He said, keep the Imam alayhi salam in an ammari, so no one even in the Sunni areas see him. Because even if the Sunnis see him, they would love him, they would like him. That's how devious and conniving he was. So cunning. Imam alayhi salam leaves Medina. He has the highest number of brothers and sisters in any of the Imams. All of these brothers and sisters, they love him very much. They want to come with him. He leaves them behind and he comes by himself. Until he reaches a place, and the famous story you've heard, in Naishabur, they say some 18,000 muhaddithin, not people, muhaddithin. Muhaddith is a person who is an expert in hadith, in the traditions of the Holy Prophet. 18,000 muhaddithin had gathered just to see the Imam alayhi salam and hear one hadith from the Imam alayhi salam. 18,000 muhaddithin. Now the Iranians had this prejudice or racist belief that we are superior than many of the other people. And the best family amongst the Iranians, they believe, was the family of their king. And they had all heard, Iranians, after the entrance of Islam in Iran, that the best family of the Arabs are the Bani Hashim. Now, they were thinking to themselves, and these people had gathered in Nishapur for one reason, most of them, not all of them, but most of them, for one reason. That this person who is coming to Nishapur, or Nishapur, yes, he is from the best family of the Arabs, the Bani Hashim, and the best family of the Iranians, the family of the king, because the granddaughter of Yazdegerd, or Yazdegerd, in Arabic there is no gar, so they made it Jim, Yazdegerd. Yazdegerd, his daughter, his granddaughter, Hazrat Shahrbano, was married to the grandson of the Holy Prophet, Hussein ibn Ali. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Because the best of the two families have been married off, this person who's coming, Radha, is from the progeny of the two best families. That's why most of these people wanted to see this Imam alayhi salam. Not because they believed in the Imam alayhi salam. Not because they believed in him. Because they wanted to see him because he's the best person from the two families. Many of these people were Sunnis. They say when the Imam alayhi salam reached Nishapur, he was in a sedan, in the Amari. And the people said, Yabna Rasulullah, O son of the Holy Prophet, just once, take your head out and show us your face. Just once. They just wanted to see him. The Imam alayhi salam took out his head and he waved at the people. When he took out his head, they say that the people started crying. Many of the people threw themselves on the floor. They started picking up dust and putting it in their head. And they said, is this the grandson of the Holy Prophet? The Holy Prophet that we wanted to all see, is this the grandson of that Holy Prophet? Is this the progeny of the Holy Prophet? Are these four full of light? They were all amazed by just the sight, just by one look of Imam Radha alayhi salam. When he wanted to take his head back in, they all said, Yabna Rasulullah, O son of the Holy Prophet, just one hadith from your great-grandfather, the Holy Prophet, just one hadith from your tongue. Just one hadith we want to hear. The Imam alayhi salam said, An Abi Musa ibn Ja'far, An Jaddi Ja'far ibn Muhammad, I narrate from my father Musa al-Kazim alayhi salam, and he from his father Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, and he from his father Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam, and he from his father Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, and he from his father Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam, and he from his father Ali ibn Abi Talib, and he from the Holy Prophet. And the Holy Prophet says that Jibreel told me that it was written on the wing of Mikael that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ اللَّهُ كَلِمَةُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ حِسْنِي فَمَنْ دَخَلَ حِسْنِي أَمِنَ مِنْ عَذَابِي. He said this chain of narration, he said that with all of these chain of narrations, I mention it from the Holy Prophet, from Jibreel, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the word, the sentence, La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah, is my fort. Whoever enters this fort has been saved from my wrath, my punishment. Imam said this and dropped the veil off his sedan, took back his head inside, and the people, those who were writing the hadith, they stopped. That the Imam has stopped saying it. He made them think. They said, is that it? The price of heaven is this La ilaha illallah, nothing more. Because the Imam had made them think, he took out his head and he said, وَبِشْرَائِتِهَا وَشُرُوتِهَا. And Rasulullah Kavi says, وَبِشْرُوتِهَا. But it has few conditions. وَأَنَا مِنْ شُرُوتِهَا. And I am one of the conditions of La ilaha illallah. He made them think. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, one of the Imams, one of the four Imams of our Sunni brothers, he says, if the chain of narration of this hadith is read on a person who is crazy, then he will be cured.
اگر کسی دیوانے پہ سلسلہ سند کو پڑھ دیا جائے تو اسے افاقہ ہو جائے گا. کون کہتے ہیں؟ یہ میں نہیں کہتا, کوئی شیعہ عالم نہیں کہتا, بلکہ اہل سنت کے امام امام احمد بن حنبل فرماتے ہیں, کہتے ہیں کہ اگر اس سلسلہ سند کو, اس حدیث کی سند کو کسی دیوانے پہ پڑھ دیا جائے تو وہ دیوانگی سے بالکل افاقہ پا لے گا, صحت و سلامتی کے ساتھ دوبارہ عام انسانوں کی طرح سے ہو جائے گا. کیوں؟ فرماتے ہیں کیونکہ اس سلسلہ سند کے اندر جتنے بھی افراد ہیں سب کے سب معصوم ہیں, ہر آدمی معصوم ہے, اسی لیے پوری کائنات میں صرف اس ایک حدیث کو سلسلہ الذہب کہا جاتا ہے. حدیث و سلسلہ الذہب یعنی وہ حدیث کی جس کے پورے کی پوری سند معصوموں کی ہے, یعنی سونے کی سند ہے, سونے کی سند. سلسلہ الذہب مشہور معروف حدیث ہے صلوات محمد علی محمد پہ.